Yes, that line forms on the right.
I thought I would sing anyway.
Not that Maggie.
I know, it is cliche.
Back in town.
That's for you, Yankees. Yes, sir. 141, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Following that Giant post game, I got you for an extra 20 minutes. Taking it till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show, 888-808-1019. And we'll take your phone calls right here in the open if you want to get in, Giant fans. I know you, maybe some of you are waiting to talk to Schmelk and the guys. But obviously, an extremely frustrating loss for the New York Giants, who now find themselves 1-3, and you just heard, if you were listening, to the end of the postgame show and the daunting schedule that awaits the New York Giants. And at 1-3, again, here we are trying to come to terms with a season that is over before Halloween. And this game is frustrating because it wasn't the 40-0 embarrassment that was last year's home opener. It wasn't a display of what we've seen so many times over the last handful of years, whether it's the Cowboys or whether it's the Eagles. One team coming in, looking like a actual NFL football team, a team that's capable of winning a Super Bowl or getting to an NFC championship game or winning 12 games, winning a division, and then there's the Giants. And that's what we have come to know and love here from our Giants over the last handful of years, particularly when it's these two opponents. And that wasn't the case last night. Last night, the Giants had every single opportunity to win this football game. Every single opportunity. Whether it's DeMarcus Lawrence leaving the game halfway through, obviously Micah Parsons as well, the inability really to just get this offense going. I was afraid of that Cowboy offense. That's what scared me. That's why I picked the Cowboys. That's why I was worried as a New York Giant fan. You had the injuries to the defensive backfield, and I thought Dak Prescott was going to come in here and do what he normally does and throw the football all over the place. And I talked about, oh, you need long, sustained drives. You need to run the football. And so much of what we thought would be needed to have happened to keep the Giants in the game actually happened, except scoring touchdowns. But this defense, while imperfect and at times had, you know, you wish you could have got off the field a little bit quicker, and, you know, Tyler Newbin had a terrible angle on a touchdown and took a terrible angle and allowed Lamb to break free for a touchdown. But ultimately, 20 points for the Dallas Cowboys coming into this stadium where they put up 40 at will last year? I thought the defense played well. And at times, the offense, sure, the passing game, we're going to get to the passing game, and we're going to get to Daniel Jones in a second. But they were effective. What they were supposed to be able to run the football against this Cowboys team. The Cowboys team has been gashed by the run. 26 yards. Singletary does not have they do not have a run longer than 5 yards in this game. 24 carries for 26 yards as a team. Singletary, 14 carries, 24 yards. And the same thing about this offense, I've always said about this offense, not enough touchdowns. Whether it was 2 years ago when we want to praise them for winning 9 games and getting into the postseason, or whether it's been the last few weeks with Daniel Jones playing well. In this game, the New York Giants scored 0 touchdowns. They were kicking field goals. And we'll get to the coach and the different situations where maybe there were multiple situations where he could have went for it. And we've talked about it over the last 2 years in particular, the difference in the coaching style of Brian Daboll and the aggressive, super aggressive coach he was year one from the 2-point conversion in Tennessee on. Has evaporated. There are multiple times. You could argue the first drive of the game, you could go for it instead of kicking the field goal. I know you like to put up 3 points there, but if you're trying to make a statement against the Dallas Cowboys, you could make an argument the first drive of the game. I think you could make an argument heading down the field with a minute left in the first half. You kick a field goal, you get a penalty that puts you there 4th and 3 with an opportunity. I know everyone wants points coming in. They were going to get the ball coming out. If you go for it right there, you have an opportunity. Even if you don't get it, there's a minute left. Cowboys, I think we're down to 1 timeout. And you'd be at the 26-yard line or so. Like, that's an opportunity to try and stop that. You, even if you don't get it, you've left them with a less chance to kick a field goal or score some points. Go in there on 4th and 3 after they give you 5 yards on a penalty. Go in there before the half and try and score a touchdown. And then, obviously, the first drive of the half, going down the field, 4th and 3 at the goal line, go for it. Multiple times, this coach does not play aggressive. And if you're going to beat the Dallas Cowboys, even this lesser adoration of the Dallas Cowboys, you're going to have to score touchdowns. And let's get to the offense overall. And let's get to Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones played well in this game. And I liked a lot about the play calling and the schemes. There were receivers running wide open at times. Obviously, the big play to Neighbors early in the game. And obviously, he's a beast. What do you have? 12 catches for 115 yards on 15 targets. And Wandell Robinson made some plays, and there were drop passes. And we're going to get to the drop passes. But here's my problem with the offense. And here's my problem that I've had with Daniel Jones and this offense for a long time, even when they were winning 2 years ago. And this team is different than the team 2 years ago because of two distinct reasons. The offensive line has proven to be far better. Maybe not at run blocking yet, but at pass blocking and giving Daniel Jones time in the pocket and protecting Daniel Jones has been far better than we've seen at any point in Daniel Jones' career, including 2 years ago when they made the playoffs. And they have a weapon like Neighbors and Wandell Robinson and Slayton and Hyatt. They've got so many more weapons in the passing game and a better offensive line that you don't have to play this scared offense that doesn't score touchdowns and doesn't go down the field. When you play like this, you have to make sure you don't drop a pass. You have to make sure you don't fumble. You have to make sure that you have these long sustained drives because they're not explosive at all. And Daniel Jones, although he was very good in this game and he was accurate, right? And in this game, he's 29 of 40 for 281 yards. Now, no touchdowns, and I'm not going to give him any blame at all for the interception. But this is an offense that didn't punt. Well, this is an offense that punt once or didn't punt and had the one turnover. Like, this offense moved the ball down the field, kicked field goals, but they never take shots down the field. And when they do, on 3 separate occasions, specifically the one to Slayton on the offsides free play, Daniel Jones is unable to make the play. So we can praise him, and I'm certainly going to tell you he looked good in this game. He's looked better, and you could argue this passing attack, because of the weapons, because of the offensive line, has looked as good as it has at any point in Daniel Jones' tenure here, without question. But the fact of the matter is, in the NFL, one, you have to score touchdowns, clearly. We could say that all morning long, it's obvious. But you also have to take shots down the field, and you have to have dynamic plays. And if you're going to run the football where you don't have a single run 5 yards or more, and you're getting shut down by this Cowboys defense that has been a gaping hole to every other team they've played this year, and you're going to pass the way you're passing and get the pass protection you're going to get, you can't play this worried about mistake, hoping to get yards after catch, throwing short of the sticks. I mean, now the one, like that, a couple of misplays from these wide receivers, whether it's the drop passes, I thought it's on a 3rd and 14 going down the field in the second half, Slayton has a ball that Daniel Jones puts on the money. It's low. He's got to go get it, but that's a catch you have to make in the NFL. Wandell Robinson has one in the last drive of the game over the middle that's in his hands. He's got to make that catch. Wandell Robinson on a 3rd and 6, stopping a yard short instead of running the route past the sticks. But still, the offense, even though Daniel Jones was effective in this game, and even though he made all the passes and was accurate, and in the second half, particularly accurate with where he put the football, He's afraid to make plays down the field, and when he does take the chance, he's unable. He was short twice to Slayton, and he was short to Neighbors down the field. All three chances down the field were dreadfully thrown footballs. And he's not the main reason for this loss necessarily. His wide receivers made bad plays, bad routes, drop passes. The run game was completely ineffective. The play calling with the run game at times, you know, second and how many times do we see second and 10, second and 8, and handoffs when clearly the running game wasn't working, should have stayed with the passing attack, and then clearly settling for field goals when they had opportunities to try and score touchdowns. And let's not forget, because if we're going to talk about him like the superstar that he has shown to be, again, with 12 receptions and 115 yards, the Giants very well had an opportunity to be 3-1 as opposed to 1-3 if Malik Neighbors makes the big catch in the big moment. This is twice now, and hopefully he's okay. He has a concussion on the play. After the drop, he hits his head. Hopefully he's going to be okay. He does have the extra time because obviously this is Thursday night. They don't have to play until next Sunday. Hopefully he's back. Hopefully he's fine. Because he is a dynamic player who has been unbelievable. But you can't, if you're going to be fair about it, you have to point out the fact that in the two losses that they had an opportunity to win, he has dropped game, potentially game saving, and in the case of Washington, possibly game winning balls that Daniel Jones threw perfectly. Of all the stuff I'm giving you about Daniel Jones, on the run to his left, with the game on the line, he throws a perfect pass to Neighbors. You have got to make that catch if you are going to be this great superstar that we all expect him to be and that he has already turned into. You have to catch that ball, and that's twice now. But this offense, as much as it matriculated the ball down the field and it's these short passes and it's across the middle and it's this, like, Daniel Jones has been so... Like, we talk about how he was conditioned to be afraid of being hit, right? Well, how your pocket awareness would be dreadful, too, if you were constantly getting hit left and right because the offensive line can't protect you. Well, we've established that we can at least get past that. The offensive line's been better. But he has got to get, and whether it's Dable, who I blame for it, because we're seeing in his coaching style he's clearly passive, Daniel Jones has got to get it out of his head, and this offense has got to stop trying to play perfect football and unafraid to make mistakes. Because what that gets you is field goals and losses. That's what it gets you. That's what it gets you. Because this team had one punt. An interception on the last drive of the game doesn't even count. All this offense, 300 yards damn near of passing offense from Daniel Jones. And what does it get you? It gets you 15 points. And in the NFL, that's a losing score. They have got to be more aggressive down the field. And when you have shots, Daniel Jones has to provide better throws. So I'm not here to kill him, but this offense, it's the same thing as it was 2 years ago. And 2 years ago, like I've been saying, was a fluke that they were able to win those games that way. That defense was extremely opportunistic. Wink had a great game plan. They won games late doing it. Saquon Barkley would impact the run game, and they were on a last play schedule able to come from behind, win a couple of games, get into the postseason, and the minute they faced real NFL competition, like the Philadelphia Eagles, they didn't belong. This team is more talented than that team. This offense is more talented than that offense. This passing attack can be more dangerous than that passing attack. But if the coach is going to coach scared, and the team is going to play scared, and the quarterback's going to throw the ball down the field scared, they're not going to score touchdowns. So we could talk about how he's 29 for 40, 281 yards, and we could talk about how at times he was accurate, he's able to move the offense. That's all great. And he had the long, sustained drives that I was talking about last night that they would need to beat this Cowboys team. The problem is you need seven. And if you look at this offense, even under Brian Dable the last handful of years, they don't score points. They scored all their points in the Cleveland game last week in the first half, did nothing in the second half. They get no touchdowns in this game. Completely overrun against Minnesota. And managed to lose a game with three touchdowns without giving up one against Washington. They don't score enough points. They don't get in the end zone. In this game, they had no running game when it should have been their biggest strength. And while Daniel Jones played well, and this passing game shows glimpses, they don't attack enough. And if you're going to have a coach who's looking to, I understand, last week he didn't have a field goal kicker, so he felt like taking advantage of it. That's great. But if you're going to have a coach that consistently plays for the three, and you're going to have these long, like, the idea they had that drive of 14 plays and 67 yards and without running the football. They're having these long, taking up half of the second quarter drives strictly on their passing game because they're taking no shots down the field. You're not going to win this way in this league. You're not. And if you're going to have a coach that's looking to score three every chance he gets, and you have wide receivers who are going to drop balls and make mistakes, like, you're not going to get enough to get into the end zone. We could talk all day about what they did in between the 20s. They're not getting in the end zone. And it's a losing recipe in the NFL. And the defense, I thought, played very well in this game for the most part, limiting the Cowboys to 20 points. And you could see this Cowboys team clearly. They really don't have any running game. They have one wide receiver who can attack you down the field. I mean, right now, they were gettable. This was a game against this Cowboys team that I talked about heading in, whether they're going to catch the Cowboys while they're struggling and not playing well, or are they going to get pissed off and kind of awake in a building that they've continued to play well against the Giants in. And honestly, looking at this Cowboys team, they don't have a lot for you. This wasn't the 40-0 game last year where one team was better than the other, clearly. The Giants and the Cowboys are on equal footing. And all of what was supposed to be their strength in the run game was non-existent. And this pass game is dink and dunk without making any attempt to go down the field because they're afraid of turnovers. And then when they go down the field, if they come up against the first hurdle of fourth down, they're kicking field goals. That's called just good enough to lose. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Just a frustrating game. A frustrating game in so many ways because this was a good enough team to beat this down. They played a good enough game to win this game. And I know they had the phantom face mask on the first drive that cost them 30 yards. And that's frustrating. And I know we saw glimpses of, obviously, Neighbors being a stud, even Wandell Robinson being shifty and making plays. Even I'll give even Singletary credit on the one fourth down the coach did go for. It's going to get blown up in the backfield. And he has an incredible spin move. I mean, so we've seen some of these players, these new additions, this new offense, make plays and show you they have ability to make them. But if you're never going to attack down the field, if you're going to need to be pitch perfect, this Giant team's not good enough to do that. And they have a guy in Hyde who can go down the field. Slayton goes down the field. Neighbors can go down the field. Start attacking. And maybe the coach doesn't do it because, honestly, as much as we might not want to call Daniel Jones the problem last night, he had three opportunities to make those plays. He's got a touchdown to Slayton. He's got a touchdown. Slayton's behind the defender. They got a free play. And he woefully underthrows that ball. That's a touchdown. You can't miss those throws in the NFL. You can't miss them. He was 29 for 40. That's great. I know one for sure that cost the Giants 6 points. Can't happen. 888-808-1019. We'll get to the Yankees. I told you the division was over. In a very impressive win, the ace, Gerrit Cole, back to his normal ways of staring down umpires and yelling at his catchers and not walking Rafael Devers. Yankees get a victory. They have clinched the playoff berth. We saw some celebrating last night. A home run late in the game that I wonder if any Yankee fan was actually excited to see. So we'll get to the Yankees, but first your Giant calls. We'll get to the Mets as well as they start a series against Milwaukee, getting ready for a possible doubleheader on Monday, hoping to make it irrelevant.